Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Freshman year was my first time living away from home, and I was supposed to be stepping into the best years of my life. But honestly, I was way more stressed about having to share space with a total stranger. All that anxiety kind of melted the second Rhea showed up on move-in day. She was quiet, studious, and almost ridiculously polite. She helped me unpack without even being asked, and even offered to take the bed by the window, even though it got direct sunlight. We got to talking about our majors, where we're from, and clicked, like we were on track to be accidental dorm besties. By the end of the first week, Rhea had started leaving little handwritten reminders on our shared desk that made me feel weirdly taken care of. But some moments threw me off. I noticed it for the first time when she was on the phone with her parents. She'd been talking in her usual soft dialect before. Suddenly, her voice caught a sharp and husky undertone, as if someone had flipped a switch. When she hung up, I asked if she cloned voices like that often. She looked at me like I had grown two heads and said she knew nothing about it. One night, I woke up at 2:13 a.m. to low whispers from her side of the room. I lay there in the dark and listened as Rhea argued with someone. Her voice shifted between soft and sharp, as if two people were having a conversation. I looked over, and she was alone in her bed, facing the wall. I squinted, but couldn't see a phone or anyone else there. The next morning, I brought it up. Rhea just stared at me, like I'd started speaking another language. She said she didn't remember and had slept straight through the night. She looked genuinely confused, so I dropped it. A couple of days later, the sticky notes started appearing in different handwriting and with different expressions. Instead of reminders, they read things like,
"Stop watching her. She's not your friend."
I found one taped to my laptop and another inside my textbook. I asked Rhea if she'd seen anyone come into our room. She insisted she was clueless. The day after that, I'd put my jacket on my desk chair and found it hanging in my closet. My shoes would migrate from the door to under my bed. They were small things that anyone would easily dismiss as their own forgetfulness. Except, I knew I wasn't forgetting. One afternoon, I came back from class, and Rhea was in the shower. I was looking for my charger and opened her closet by mistake. Taped to the inside of the door was a photo of me, maybe taken from Instagram. And underneath, scribbled in that same messy handwriting was,
"She knows."
I stood there staring, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. The shower turned off. I closed the closet door and sat at my desk with my heart pounding. When Rhea came out, I asked her directly if she'd put the photo there. She looked at me like I was crazy, said she'd never been on my Instagram. I should have moved out then. But I was 18 and didn't want to cause problems, and part of me still believed there was a reasonable explanation.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips, and being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That night, a storm rolled in and knocked the power out. The whole floor went dark. I was in bed, scrolling on my phone, when I heard footsteps circling my bed. I kept my breathing steady and pretended to be asleep. The footsteps stopped right next to my head. I could hear someone breathing above me. A second later, I felt the coldness of metal pressing against my throat. My breathing picked up as Rhea lowered her mouth to my ear and whispered,
You weren't supposed to find out.
The lights flickered back on, and I screamed. Rhea was standing over my bed, holding a kitchen knife. Her face was blank, and her eyes were wide and dilated. My shrills seemed to snap her out of the trance. She looked down at her hand and started screaming. She dropped the knife and backed against the wall. She was crying and asking what happened. Why was she holding that? Why was I looking at her like that? She genuinely didn't remember standing over me with a knife at my throat. The RA heard the screams and came running with campus security. They took statements from both of us. Rhea was hysterical. She kept saying she didn't know what happened, that she'd been asleep, and then the lights came on and she had a knife in her hand. They moved me to a different room that night. Rhea was taken to the campus counseling center and then to the hospital. I found out later she'd been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder when she was 15, had been in treatment, but stopped medication when she started college. The other personality had been there the whole time, and it was the one who wrote the notes, moved my things, and saw me as a threat. And that night, during the blackout, it had taken control completely. They sent Rhea back a day later. Her folks withdrew her from school to ensure she got proper treatment. I graduated and never saw her again. Throughout my college years, I took up part-time gigs and lived in a single dorm room that cost more than I could afford because I couldn't share space with someone else. Can't trust that the person I go to bed with is the same person who will be there when I wake up. I know now that people can have whole other versions of themselves living inside them that write in different handwriting and speak in different voices and hold knives in the dark. I wonder what would have happened if the power hadn't come back on when it did, if those lights had stayed off for another 30 seconds, if Rhea's other self had finished what it started. I'm grateful I never had to find out. I moved into Michael's apartment a month after losing my job at the warehouse. I was 21, had $800 to my name, and was completely out of options. The Craigslist listing advertised an available room with utilities included for $300 a month. It was suspiciously cheap for the area, but I wasn't in a position to be picky. Michael answered the door wearing a white t-shirt and jeans that looked like he'd been wearing them for ages. He was maybe 35 and had the kind of mid-face that could be easily forgotten. The room he showed me was just as unimpressive. It only had a mattress on the floor, a closet with a missing door, and a window facing a brick wall. But at that time, even the bare room had felt like my best option. I agreed to move in the same evening. The apartment started feeling wrong right away, though I couldn't pinpoint why. Maybe it was the excessive cleaning or the lack of furniture and personal touches in the house. The living room had a single couch, a TV, and completely bare walls. When I asked how long he'd lived there, dude said 5 years, but the place looked like he'd moved in yesterday. That first night, I woke up at around 2 a.m. to a low murmur from somewhere in the apartment. When I looked, Michael was standing in the bathroom with the light on, talking to the mirror. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but his lips were moving, and he kept nodding like the reflection was responding to him. I closed my door quietly and got back into bed, told myself he was on the phone or maybe rehearsing for something. The next morning, by the time I woke up, Michael had already prepared coffee and offered me a cup. While I was drinking it, he grinned and said, "You should watch more quietly next time, Clay." I stared at him, stunned. I don't know what you mean. I stammered. "Last night, when you opened your door, the hinges squeak." He chuckled, taking a sip. "It's fine, though. All of them initially make the same mistakes." "All of who?" I asked, but he'd already gotten up and walked out, humming some old song. The conversation had made me uneasy. Over the next few days, I started paying more attention and noticed Michael almost always kept the door down the hallway bolted. When I asked him about it, he said it was the basement. "It has some really personal stuff and is totally off limits. Please, never go down there, okay?" But I'd hear him spend nights down there. I told myself it was none of my business. I was paying rent for a room, and what he did in his basement wasn't my concern. Then, One night, I woke up and heard him unlock the basement door. I lay there in the dark, listening to his footsteps descend. I tossed and turned. At the end, curiosity got the better of me, and I got up.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I opened my door and snuck out. The basement door was open, and light was illuminating the staircase. I could hear Michael's soft murmurs and occasional hiccups. He was talking to someone. I crossed the hallway and started down the stairs, making sure the steps didn't creak under my weight. As I descended lower, an awful odor made my head spin. I covered my nose with my elbow and kept going. My heartbeat had picked up, and bile rose in my throat. From the bottom of the stairs, I saw that Michael was kneeling on the concrete floor with his back to me. He was sobbing, embracing a log-like thing covered with a tarp.
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Duff. I didn't want to. You have to understand. It had to be done."
He pulled back the tarp. I saw what was underneath, and my legs almost gave out. It was a decomposed body, so much so that I couldn't tell who it was. The smell hit me, and I had to cover my mouth to keep from gagging. Michael kept talking to it, running his hand over what was left of its hair. I pulled out my phone with shaking hands and started recording. Got maybe 30 seconds of footage before I backed up the stairs as quietly as I could. Somehow, I got into my room and locked the door before I called 911. My heart was hammering so hard I could barely speak. The police arrived within 15 minutes. I met them outside and showed them the video. They went in with their guns drawn. I waited on the sidewalk, expecting to hear shouting or a struggle. But when they brought Michael out 5 minutes later in handcuffs, he wasn't fighting. He was smiling, as if he was relieved. As they walked him past me, he looked right at me and said,
"Thank you. I've been needing someone to see."
The officers took him to their car. One of them stayed behind to talk to me. They'd found the body was of a man named David, who had been Michael's roommate for a long time. The officer explained that Michael had lost control during a heated argument one night and killed David in a fit. He was dead for months. Michael had kept him in the basement all that time. When they searched the apartment, they found journals filled with pages about his guilt. Michael wanted to turn himself in, but couldn't make himself do it. I desperately wanted someone to find out and force his hand. I just happened to be that someone. It has been a year, and I'm still messed up. I'm crashing back at my parents' place, got a new gig, and I'm talking to a therapist who knows all about this trauma. But I can't shake it. I'm still the kid who went down those stairs. My parents are insisting I get out and live my life, that someday I gotta move on, because they ain't gonna be there for me forever. I tell them that just thinking about getting a new roommate gives me serious anxiety. I was scrolling through apartment listings for the fifth time that week, getting more desperate with each refresh. My lease was up in 10 days, and I'd been turned down by almost every place I could actually afford. That's when Suzanne's listing popped up. She was out to share her apartment. That's master bedroom she already occupied. I texted her, and she told me she just wanted a roommate who wouldn't vacate in 2 months and paid on time. I wanted something longer term, too. It sounded like a deal. We exchanged maybe 10 messages before I agreed to move in. When I showed up, an old woman answered the door, flashing her dentures. She looked maybe 70. Her gray hair was pulled back in a messy bun, and she was donning a cardigan that looked like the dirtiest fabric in the room.
"Oh, you must be Mark. I'm Kathy, Suzanne's grandmother. She's at work, but said to make yourself at home. I'm just staying for the summer."
Inside, the apartment looked like the photos, except everything seemed older and more worn out. The grandmother followed me to my room, prodding me with weird questions until I answered them.
How long have you been living alone, Mark? Where is your family?
I've been out of the home since I turned 18. Father prefers the countryside.
Great. You got a wife or girlfriend who'd show up?
No, ma'am.
Very well.
She flashed me a cheeky grin that made my skin itch, like she was pleased with the answers. The room was small with a bed, a desk, and a dresser. And along the mantel, above a blocked-off fireplace, sat a row of stuffed animals facing the bed.
Don't touch those,
the grandmother said from the doorway.
They're family heirlooms. Suzanne's quite particular about them.
I told her I wouldn't. She stood there watching me unpack for another minute before finally leaving. I heard her go into what I assumed was Suzanne's room and close the door.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I didn't meet Suzanne that night, or the next day, or the day after that. Her bedroom door stayed closed the whole time. When I asked when she'd be home, Kathy said she was on an office trip and would be back in a week or so. But the old lady was always there, in the kitchen or living room, asking invasive questions. She kept bringing up how nice it was to have a man in the apartment again, and how lonely it had been. One night, I was working late on an urgent project involving too many files that were scattered all over my bed. I needed more space, so I moved to clear off the mantel above the fireplace. That's when I noticed something strange about the stuffed animal sitting there. In the dim light from my desk lamp, I could see faint red dots inside their eyes like tiny pinpricks of light. I picked up the teddy bear closest to me, turned it over, and noticed a small lens embedded in its eye socket. I checked the others and found that every single stuffed animal had a hidden camera inside them. They were all pointed directly at my bed. My stomach dropped. I looked around the room, wondering how long they'd been recording and what they'd seen. I started packing immediately. I wasn't going to spend another second in that room or that apartment. I'd sleep in my car if I had to. I was bent over my duffel bag when something heavy smashed into the back of my head. The impact sent me forward onto my knees, and my vision exploded with white stars. I touched the back of my skull, and my fingers came away wet with blood. I turned around, and Kathy was standing behind me, holding a ceramic vase. Before I could react, she swung again. This time, it hit my nose. I heard the crunch before pain exploded. Blood poured down my face and into my mouth. I fell backward onto my ass, clutching my face, unable to see straight. She was laughing and sobbing at the same time.
How dare you? Didn't I tell you not to touch those?
I tried to crawl backward, but my head was spinning. She stepped closer, still holding the vase.
You think you can come and go on a whim? You men are all selfish monsters. You can happily live with a woman who shows off her shiny flesh, but disappear the moment her skin wrinkles? There's no Suzanne, Mark. There has never been one. I made it all up to have you. You can't leave!
She screamed. She raised the vase above her head for another swing, but by the time I had regained my senses, I reached for her ankle and yanked as hard as I could. She lost her balance and stumbled sideways into the dresser. The vase fell from her hands and shattered on the floor. I scrambled to my feet. My nose was throbbing, and the blood had soaked my shirt. White spots danced across my vision, and I could barely see the doorway, but I ran for it anyway. Behind me, Kathy was screaming at me to stop. I made it out of the apartment and burst out onto the street. I saw an older man walking his dog.
Help, please! Call 911!
He pulled out his phone immediately. The police arrived within minutes. I told them everything while an EMT cleaned the blood off my face. They went up to the apartment and found her sitting on my bed, surrounded by the stuffed animals. She didn't resist. The officers found many cameras and hard drives full of footage. They charged her with assault and voyeurism. She was declared mentally unfit to stand trial and committed to a psychiatric facility. It has been months, and I'm mostly healed. The attack had made my nose slightly crooked. I can feel the bump when I touch it. It's a reminder of the horror I lived and survived.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I live alone in a studio apartment that costs more than I can afford, but I know every inch of it. I checked for cameras the day I moved in, and I checked every few months after. Because I know that loneliness can turn people into monsters, that the people you're talking to online might not exist, and a whole life can be fabricated just to trick you into walking through a door you'll regret opening. I wonder what would have happened if she'd hit me harder, if I hadn't grabbed her ankle in time. I'm grateful I never had to find out.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.